What's up? This is Marcus, and welcome to Brothers and Bourbon, where we give you the real spill. So make sure to check us out on Anchor, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, or anywhere you listen to your podcasts. We got a special one today, y'all. Yeah, this one's special. Today's episode is all about the late, great Kobe Bean Bryant, a.k.a. the Black Mamba. Yeah, we're going to pay tribute to him. We're going to talk about his life. We're going to talk about his death, how he transcended the game, what he meant to the game, and everything we loved about Kobe.
Let's go back to January 26, 2020. What was that date? What do y'all remember?
Yeah.
I remember that day.
I'll let the Kobe fans go first on this one.
All right.
So it was a Sunday. Yeah. We had just got out of our meeting. Mm-hmm. And actually, you called me and told me what was going on. And at first, we had talked to you about this a couple times in service, and I don't know if you remember, but you had done this to me before.
I don't remember that.
Yes, but you had said that, but I promise you, you had done this to me before. Like, you see Kobe die? I'm like, no.
Man, I don't remember that, man. I do not remember that. Yeah. Don't put that on me, man.
So when he said it that day, I was like, stop playing, Marcus. Like, I ain't got time for this right now. And you sounded very serious, so I was like, let me look this up, and looked it up and seen it. And I was, I think, still like very much in shock. Like, I went out to eat, met my family, and all of them just looked sad.
Yeah.
And I was like, what is wrong with y'all? And they were all like, how are you feeling? Are you okay? And I'm like, you know, I'm fine. You know, it wasn't until later on in that day that it hit me. But at first it was just very numbing. Yeah. Like, it didn't seem real.
Mm. Kind of shocked.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
So we was at the Sunday at the hall. We were doing a Watchtower study. And I got a text from other Chris, little Chris.
Yeah.
Sent me a text like, is this story about Kobe true? I'm like, what are you talking about? Then next thing I know, I'm getting texts from coworkers, and I'm getting every news app on my phone is blowing up. And I'm just like, wait a minute, this can't be real. Like, I'm like, this is not real. Yeah. Then I see everybody, literally, this disrupted our Watchtower study. Everyone was literally picking up their phone, reading stuff. Yeah, and I was like, well, they got it. And then everybody, like, literally going to the back of the hall during the Watchtower study.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wait, like, this is just, I mean, I get it. It's Kobe, but. And it was just it didn't hit me until was a couple friends from other congregations text me to ask me how my brother was.
Yeah.
Who I haven't even talked to in a while, but they asked me about how he was just based on Kobe.
Yeah.
Passing, and it was just like, wow.
Yeah.
And then when I got the news about his daughter, that's when it really like affected me. Yeah. You know, cause being a father, that's what like really took me to like a. Like Blair was saying, a numbing disbelief of what happened.
Yeah, it really hit home. You know, and that's the thing. I was at the hall, and before we had left, because I think me and Blair was talking, and before we left, I got a, you know, news on my phone that it was a helicopter crash in L.A. You know, so I'm like, you know. I was wondering why I was getting it. What was the significance of it? And then, so as we driving, or actually by the time I made it home, it just said Kobe, breaking news, and then Kobe. And then immediately I just put two and two together, man. This crash in L.A., that's a news story for, you know, for whatever reason. And then all I see is breaking news, and then I see Kobe's name. And then so... as immediately I opened it, I think I said, oh, no. And, you know, my wife was like, what? I'm like, man, Kobe. And then that's immediately when I hit Blair, like, man, Blair. you know, check your phone, you know, Google
it. And it was on my phone. I had got the alerts for it, but we were doing literature at the time. So it was going off, but I wasn't, you know, thinking anything about it. And I think you actually had called me twice. You had called me.
Yeah.
And I didn't pick up. And then I seen you. I missed your call. So I was like, let me call him back.
Yeah.
So yeah, it was everywhere. Quick.
Yeah.
But you know, I just wasn't paying attention to it at that time.
Yeah.
And the crazy thing for me, like I normally use like my iPad or a tablet during a meeting, but I forgot at this meeting. I just had my phone.
Yeah.
So normally I wouldn't have seen or paid attention to any alert.
Yeah.
That came through it, but it's like I'm reading a paragraph, and then it all just comes on my phone as I'm trying to swipe it away. Yep. Until I actually pay attention to it. Uh-huh. And it's like, oh, wow, okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. You know, and I don't know if we got Chris back.
Can y'all hear me?
So take us back to that day.
Okay. Chris? Ah, man. It's what, yeah. We were at the Kingdom Hall. I'm actually doing the sound.
That's true. That's right.
Watchtower Study just started. And I use my phone for the meeting. So I found out I got a news alert from ABC News. It said breaking, Kobe Bryant dead in helicopter crash. And I'm like, wait, this is not TMZ. This is coming from ABC News. Like, nah, man. No way. And phone start blowing up, text messages. You know, coming through at the same time, I'm devastated, but I got to put up the pictures for the next paragraphs coming. Yeah. You know, so I'm still multitasking exactly, and I look over, and I'm just trying to see if like other people are getting this alert, like if this is real, you know, and I'm like, goodness, man. And I couldn't help it, man. Like a tear just rolled down my eyes. Like, what? Like, no, wait, no, not Kobe. Not wait, Kobe? Man, yeah, that was. And it, I was cool for the rest of the time. But at the same time, it was so much news coming in, like all his daughters. And it was like Rick Fox, too. And it was, I'm like, well, wait, like, it's just a lot of. Like okay, what who all was on the plane, you know, and so it was a lot of confusion, but you know, kind of like y'all, it really didn't hit me until that night, and I was just like, man, bro, like Kobe's gone, man, and that's the man, cried my eyes out, man, cried my eyes out,
you know, and. It does hit different, man, you know, and especially a person that people love, you know, worldwide, you know, and you don't see a person that young going out like that, you know, and that young and a person doing the right thing, you know.
Yeah.
So it was, and then a helicopter crash. It's just like.
Exactly.
You know, what? You know? You know, and really, you know, once that happened, truthfully, that was like the beginning of the
everything.
Yeah,
we know.
Yeah.
Once that happened, I'm like,
all downhill from there. Man.
So I don't know, but that's what I see. You know, right after that, because you know, I think everybody was still in shock. For days, man.
You're
still in shock.
Mm-hmm.
But man, the next week or so is like, you know, the NBA wasn't playing, the Lakers weren't playing. You know, they trying to figure out, what's the next move. You know, that's the impact that he had.
Yeah, globally, it was everywhere.
Globally, man. It. I think what really hit me too is like you said, like we all knew Kobe. Like Kobe's a well-known person, but man, this is on every single news outlet. This is Lee's story on everything. I was like, wow. Like, I didn't know this many people even like Kobe.
It was getting old real fast. Exactly. I was, man, I don't want to hear about this anymore.
Yeah, definitely.
And I think another thing about it is that, you know, Kobe, you know, he came out when we were young, when we were so young, and he's still here, you know. You know, I know my earliest memory of Kobe was back in 96, you know. You know, I just heard about him coming to the NBA, you know, straight from high school. So Kobe was 16, or he was 17. I was probably 16 or about to turn 16, you know. So I hear about this guy coming to the league. He about to get drafted, you know, at the time. Yeah, it took Brandy. See, y'all, Blair, you might not know this.
I know. I'm aware.
Hey, he took Brandy back then.
Yeah.
The young guys, man, we like Brandy.
Hey, everybody, I had the Brandy, first album. I'm not even going to lie.
We like Moesha, man.
Exactly. Too,
so he was doing his thing. He was out there, like I said, coming to the league. Then he got drafted to Charlotte. Of course, we know he got traded to the Lakers, and the rest is history. So, what are y'all some of y'all earliest memories of Kobe?
Man, for me, he was actually the first player I followed his senior year in high school. I heard about him. I actually follow his senior year. I would go to the store and buy the USA Today just to see the top 25 rankings in the nation. And I think Lower Merion was number one pretty much for the year. I think they finished one or two. And at the time in the NBA, my favorite player was what's that, 96? Yeah. Penny Hardaway. You know, so I was still like a, you know, like a Magic fan, Penny fan. But I'm like, man, like, I really like this Kobe guy, man. And then it kind of all just perfect storm. Yeah. Shaq went to the Lakers. So I'm like, I ain't really feeling the Magic
that
no more.
That slow transition.
Yeah. Exactly. And then, you know, once they made the trade for Kobe, I'm like, so I really started following him his senior year in high school. He was the first player that I really really followed high school. You know, back then we didn't really hear about the high school guys too much if they wasn't in like the town that we in. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
All right.
That's tough. I don't really know. Like, so my dad followed Magic from Michigan State to LA. It's how he became a Lakers fan. So I remember growing up, like, him liking the Lakers, but at that point in time, I was born in 92, so it was before, you know, by the time I started watching basketball, Kobe would have, young. So, Kobe was on the Lakers by the time I started watching basketball, but I wasn't really old enough to really, you know, pay real attention to it. So I can't really remember when I started to become a Lakers fan. But like my first Kobe jersey was in sixth grade. And it just started to, you know, domino. Like I remember kind of the Lakers winning the championships, the three-peat. But like, I remember more of like moments of it. Like I couldn't, you know, tell you the games, but I can like remember like certain moments of those runs. But I think it was more so after Shaq left. Like I remember the year that they lost. When they lost to the Pistons, I remember watching those games. And I think that might have been like the furthest back that I can like remember specifically like what happened after that.
And what was that, 04?
Losing to them.
First one my man left on the table.
But it was all right, though. I think that changed him. I think that helped mold him a little bit.
Yeah.
It did.
What about you, Ken?
Well, not to be the Debbie Downer in the room, but let's see. No, my first, like when I first heard about Kobe, I was being aggravated and annoyed by Chris. Because when he would go get those USA Today's, because you know I'm a big Kevin Garnett fan, and he'd be like, oh no, he's taking over Garnett, it's the best high school. I'm like, dude, go sit somewhere. Like, he's not, this dude is not going to be that. He was all on the news. And he was aggravating me by just people talking about him.
Yeah.
So then game five in 1997 against the Utah Jazz when he shot them air balls.
Yeah.
Was like one of the best days of my life. And I harassed him nonstop. Because I was like, he's not going to be Mike. He's not Mike. That's all I kept saying.
We're not going to have Kenny on the next Kobe show.
Thank you.
I gotta talk to whoever.
My love for Kobe grew. It grew as he got older. But at first, I couldn't stand Kobe. And it was mostly because of Chris.
He did not like Kobe.
Mostly because of Chris. Why I could not stand Kobe Bryant. Because I wouldn't pay attention to his game. I would just hear him talking and I'd be like, dude, stop talking to me about this guy. He's not, but you know. Kobe's my man. I love Kobe, but at first, nah.
Yeah, no, I
understand that.
But you know, because for me, you know, I, of course, being from the Chi, man, I'm a Jordan guy. Mm-hmm. I'm a guy. Mm-hmm. So when I saw Kobe coming, walking like Jordan, talking like Jordan, the whole style, I'm like, man, you know, I'm like, no one can beat Jordan. Mm-hmm. But true enough, Kobe was the closest to Jordan and the type of player that he was.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. That's what I really appreciate about Kobe. And then we'll get into that in a few minutes, what I appreciate about him, you know, unfortunately, right before his death, you know, the man he was after retiring. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. You know, so we'll get into that. Mm-hmm. But like for Chris, when did you know? When did you know that Kobe was going to be great? You know, was it back then? Was it that?
I can pinpoint it for you. It was a game. What game was that? No. Game seven, 2000 versus Portland. No. Kobe was what, 21? He was 21. Yeah, he was 21.
He got the facts, man.
We won what? We went.
I know. He got the paper.
Man, look, I'm telling you. telling you, man. 67-15. We just got swept by San Antonio. And back in, 99, closed out the form. I'm like, man, if they don't win it this year, man, they're about to break this team up. You know, and it was 75-60 going into the fourth quarter. I'm sitting there devastated. Yo, Kenny's a Portland fan, so I mean, let me have it, man. I'm sitting here like, I cannot believe we about to lose at home to Portland in game seven, man. And honestly, that game, because I know Shaq, I think Shaq only had about 19 that game. They were doubling Shaq every time he touched the ball. And I'm like, Kobe, I think he finished with 25. And 10 boards and maybe like 6-7 assists. I'm like, Kobe kept that game at bay. We really should have been down about 25-30 points. And Kobe just kept it close. And around the end, when we started coming back, he got the block on Bonzi, spiked it to the ground and came down, kick it to Ori, to Fish. Shaw made the three. It was just the way Kobe at 21 didn't panic. He didn't panic. He didn't start trying to play hero ball, trying to take all the shots because Shaq was off that night. And, man, Kobe to me, that game told me, like, oh, all right. And then when he did the lob to Shaq, of course, I'm like, man, this guy knows how to do it. He knows when he needs to take over. He doesn't overfeed Shaq. And to me, that's why Kobe, to me, had the perfect balance with Shaq. And that's when I knew, like, Shaq only had 19 and we still won a game seven down by 15 in the fourth quarter. This is it, man. This is when I know. This is when I know.
That's big because that was a tough Portland team, man. Mm-hmm. Bunzy.
Man, that team was Bunzy. So good. They had Rasheed, Scotty, Steve Smith. I think Greg Anthony was still in that team. Sabonis, Damon Stoudemire. Man, they would. Man, that Portland team was.
Brian Grant on there.
Yeah. Brian Grant was on that team too. Sure was. Portland was deep.
A veteran and young player, you know. And
And they had a Jermaine O'Neal, mm-hmm. but he was so young, he wasn't in the rotation yet. Yeah.
What say you, Kenny? Man, I see you over there.
We didn't need to talk about that series. I don't even remember what happened in that series. It never really existed. But
Portland missed 13 straight shots in the fourth quarter. Right, that's what happened.
As much as I was not a Kobe fan back then, I actually knew he was great in '98. Uh-huh. The All-Star game in Madison Square Garden. When he went head to head with Mike,
MJ.
Mm-hmm. The fact that he challenged Mike in the All Star game, he's playing him and Mike were playing going at each other like it was Game 7 of the NBA Finals, and he didn't back down and he showed up, and that's when I was like, okay, he actually is something more than just a dunk contest winner. Because remember before every upcoming Mike, Harold Miner, all of them, they just won a dunk contest. Yeah, they just won a dunk contest and didn't do anything else. He went at Mike and didn't back down. So that's when I knew he was going to be great. I didn't think he was going to be as great as he ended up becoming, but I knew he was going to be great at that All-Star game.
Yeah. What about you, Blair? What game or what series point did you say, man, Kobe, you know, I like him, but man, this dude, he's awesome. You know what I mean?
So great. I think for me, honestly, would be everything that happened with his accusation. Mm-hmm. I think that's when I realized that he's a little bit different than everybody else. Because, you know, I was already a huge fan at that point in time, but you see, like, you know, Tiger, what happened with Tiger, you know, great players that go through something and how it kind of changes them, you know, where you almost kind of get exposed. Now, all of a sudden, you know, everything's a little bit different. But the way he made it through all that and rebuilt himself and just continued on just dominating. I think for me, at least being, you know, not able to remember everything that happened when he first started, that's when I realized that he was bound. You know, at that point in time, I think he was already, you know, great, but I think that's what catapulted him for me into, you know, one of the all-time best.
Yeah.
Because he just continued to, you know, go to work and do what he had to do, no matter who was in front of him.
And that definitely was a tough part. Not only his life, his family's life, but, you know, he was able to, you know, overcome it. He was able to get through it, get past it. You know, he came back 24, you know, and he kept doing his thing, man. So, and that's the thing with Kobe. Again, he's one of the all-time greats. And that's one thing that sticks out to me about Kobe is his, you know, the Mamba mentality, you know, his killer instinct, you know. So can y'all speak on that at all? How y'all feel about that? His you know, he's an assassin, his killer instinct, his, you know, his work ethic.
I mean, it was just a drive,
man.
You know, he wanted to be better than everybody else. And I think he proved that. It showed that if you put in the work, well, I can't say that. I think if you put in the work, not everybody comes out that same way. But he was an example of somebody who put in the work and it did work out for him that way. You know, just – and you see it now, I think, more so a little bit before. You know, you see it in certain players, Kawhi a little bit, you know. Kyrie a little bit, but you know, now after everything that happened, it seemed like, you know, the Lakers tried to adopt that mentality, and now you see it everywhere. Yeah. And people doing it, you know, not even in sports, you know, people are doing it for, you know, their normal jobs. Mm-hmm. Have that Mamba mentality, and you can really, you know, transfer it to all aspects of your life.
Yeah.
You know, just dominate whatever it is you're mm-hmm. doing. And, you know, he's definitely helped me. And definitely. I think a lot of other people with that, you know, just whatever it is that you have in front of you, just attack it with everything you have and just beat it.
Yeah.
Yep.
Cause you know, I see that in Giannis, man. Once Giannis worked out with Kobe that 1 year, man, he came back a monster, man.
Mm-hmm.
But that goes to back to some stuff I read about Kobe when he was younger, growing up in where? France?
Italy.
Italy. Italy, yeah.
You know, he didn't mm-hmm. no one wanted to be his friend, and you know, it sounded pretty sad actually. And then so once he grew up there, mm-hmm. and then when he came back to the States, and you know, they said, man, you speak too proper, you mm-hmm. know. He didn't get some of the slang, he didn't get some of the jokes when he came back home to the States, you know, and again, as Blair was mentioning, that drove him, you know. Mm-hmm. Let me be the best I can be, you know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's so funny you say that, because when I go back to high school, when I tell you, man, when I was the only person in my high school who even liked Kobe, who was even remotely fond of Kobe. Everybody was Iverson. Mm-hmm. They're like, man, and they didn't like Kobe. Kobe had a fro. Kobe didn't have no tattoos. Mm-hmm. You know, Kobe talked, I think he spoke three different languages. You know, Kobe was lame to them. You know, like, Kobe, you're lame. But I'm like, do y'all see this dude on the court, though?
Hooper.
This dude is a killer. Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, Kobe was definitely an assassin, but speak on his determination, his will to win, for him to drop 81 points in a game, to come from behind and pull that win out. And do you guys think that anyone will score at least 81 points again, the way the NBA game is played today?
The determination to win, like, I think there's a lot of players that would have looked at that like, this is just a regular season game against a team that we only played mm-hmm. twice, and it's not like it really is gonna, you know, it don't really, not that it don't mean nothing, but it don't mean nothing. Yeah. Like, there's no reason, mm-hmm. you know.
Yeah, exactly.
He was willing to drain the tank that game to get the dub. And it wasn't like, I mean, honestly, it ain't like he had, like, an amazing shooting night.
Yeah.
It took him quite a lot of shots to get to 81, but.
He was like mm-hmm. 28 or 46 or something.
That's a lot of shots.
28 to 46, I believe. 46
shots is a lot of shots. Yeah. Like, that's outrageous.
But, you know, 81, you know.
That's a good percentage, though.
Percentage is fine. It's just, you know, that's a lot of shots to put up. But you know what? When you think about it, when, you know, you hear people, like, I just read an article from Dwight, and he was talking about how Kobe was telling him, you know, to expand his game, you know, work on his elbow jump shot. And he was like, you know, what do you do? And he said, Kobe, you know, said he put up 1,000 shots a day. Mm-hmm. So when you shoot that mm-hmm. many times in practice, I guess to put up 40-something shots in a game really probably is nothing. No, that's, you know, that's light work to him. But as far as
– exactly.
Yeah, that's a lot of shots to a normal person, I think. But to him, you know, when you do that every day in practice, what's it to, you know, in a game?
Yeah.
But especially when it's going in. And then you got the lights on you.
Yeah.
You know, because he was jamming them up, man. His mid range game.
Oh, it was crazy.
Seven threes. You mm-hmm. know, Jalen Rose.
Yep.
You know, I remember the highlights from it back when it came out, and they were like, hey, Jalen, you can't let somebody score that on you, man. You gotta foul him. You
something. But I mean, he's like a career 80-something% free throw shooter, so I ain't gonna do you no good either.
Exactly. So you can put him on the line.
I'm just saying, man, you're not getting 80 on my head.
Jason's
probably the worst of it, but everybody, you know, I mean, at some point in time, when you go over 81, everybody getting worked over.
Yeah,
at that
everybody
point.
Was, but all we remember is Jay Rose.
Because yeah. he'd be on ESPN. Exactly. You know they got to give it to him.
I'm going above the rim on him, man.
Telling you, man. Like, there's no way.
My black man.
That's tough, because I mean, you put that in perspective. That's like playing a game to 16 and somebody giving you all 16 points.
Correct.
I got to put you on the floor at some point in time. Exactly. Somewhere around 11 or 12, some point, I got to put you on your back. I can't. I'm sorry.
But they not only give you those 16, all 16 points, but your mama watching and your
yep.
Yeah. Yeah.
Your wife watching.
All your friends are there. Yeah.
At the family reunion, everybody watching.
Yeah.
Definitely, definitely. Yeah, that's insane. You gotta do something. You can't let one man do that.
If anybody gonna do it, Kobe is the man.
Oh yeah. At that point in time, it was probably crazy. You look back at it now, and it's not as unbelievable when you look at his scoring outburst that he had.
Yeah, yeah.
81 really won't that crazy for him when you look at some of the scoring outbursts he had. Like it kind of. Is obviously, you know, his biggest, but you know, to score 60 in your last game, I mean, you know, 20 points away.
But I remember
He scored what? And then the game versus
Dallas.
Yeah. Go ahead, Chris.
Dallas,
yep. Mm-hmm. Yep. That's the one I was about to say. Well, he scored 62
quarters.
In three quarters.
Yeah.
Dallas only had 60.
Mm-hmm.
The whole Dallas team had
60. Yeah, that's right. Sure was. And then I think he had what, 6 straight 50-point games?
Yeah.
Oh, was it 8?
Yeah, he was rattling off. He had
he went on crazy tear.
Yeah, that he had another one where he had like a bunch of 40, like in a month span, he had like 10 40-point games in a month. Like he was going,
but
going crazy.
I think that you know once Kobe got to that point. You know, the whole NBA just respected Kobe.
Everybody
just respected him because, like you said, if somebody dropping that on your head night in and night out, somebody going to do something to him, man, especially back in the day. But, you know, I think everybody just said, man, that's just Kobe. That's him.
Yeah.
You know, that's what he do.
Yeah, that's Kobe.
You know, so after that, you had, you know, some Kobe stoppers, quote unquote. Reuben Patterson,
Rajah Bell.
Look, they all should have been ashamed of themselves. the only thing they were stopping Kobe from doing was from what, getting 70?
Exactly.
I mean,
80 again.
Exactly. That's, I mean, I guess you stopped him. I mean,
right. You did your job, I guess.
Yeah.
Score 80.
Exactly.
80. Those guys built the career. Stopper, man.
That's the thing with Reuben Patterson.
It's crazy.
Wasn't Reuben Patterson only because he was on the practice squad with the Lakers?
He was on the practice,
And they said Phil Jackson.
He said in practice he used to D up Kobe.
Phil Jackson called him the Kobe stopper, went to Portland, took that to his head, and I believe they swept Portland that series.
Yeah. sure did.
Kobe.
That was a 2001 first round.
Kobe, he went at his head. He like, you going to call yourself the Kobe stopper?
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to show you.
Yep.
Yeah.
But you can't stop me.
He took things personal.
Exactly. And he don't give you no break on defense. You ain't getting no breaks.
Yeah.
You are getting no breaks.
And that's the thing. If you had a weakness, he was going to expose you every time.
He's going to every single time.
But that was his mentality. And that going back to that All-Star game against Jordan, you know, as an 18, 19-year-old, how do you go at Jordan in an All-Star game? He was waving off picks. In the post. No, man.
This is our time.
First thought. That was his first
And that was the start of Karl Malone and him not really liking each other.
Mm.
Yeah, because he was like Kobe waving off picks. Like, who was this kid to wave off picks, you know? Yeah.
I guess Kobe says you weren't challenging him.
Yeah, Kobe. Right, exactly. We seen what he did to you in the finals.
Exactly.
Let me have my opportunity.
Right. You had your shot. Exactly.
Hey, so moving on, you know, again, as I mentioned earlier, man, in 2016, mm-hmm. What's some of the mm-hmm. things that you guys heard or saw from him after retiring that really made you appreciate him even more?
Well, for me, it was the family man he became. Mm-hmm. He dedicated himself to his wife and kids like he did the game of basketball.
Yeah.
Because he said he was done with basketball. He wanted to spend time with his family. He said it and meant it. We've seen other superstars. Mm-hmm. Retired, like me, as much as we love him, Mike did the same thing and then came back with the Wizards.
Yeah.
The Lakers were trying to get him involved with everything. And he like, I'll come to the gym, but that's about it. Yeah. And he was fully dedicated to his family and using that Mamba mentality to conquer something else. I mean, he won an Oscar.
Yeah.
I mean, the man won an Oscar. First film he made won an Oscar. Yep. Mm-hmm. Like, you think about all the directors and producers out here making these billion-dollar films that can't get a nomination.
Yeah.
My man made an animated film, won an Oscar first time out. So,
yeah,
and then he's also a bestseller, I think.
Yeah.
Like, two-time bestseller. Like, he dedicated, and it was all dedicated to, and then the Mamba Sports Academy. Yeah.
Yep.
That he built up women basketball and the way he was involving himself with like the WNBA, putting shine on people or on women who were not getting the respect that they deserved for their hard work. So I think he was greater after retirement than he was when he was playing the game of basketball.
Yeah.
And that's when I really became like a Kobe fan.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, he was a Laker, so.
But hey,
always will be a Laker.
20 years, baby.
I gotta agree with Kenny, man, because you know I'm an MJ guy. You know, I became an Iverson. You know, around that time, and then I became a LeBron guy, man. So
why are you running from Kobe, man? Why are you running from him?
I never had the room for Kobe. But, you know, as Kobe got older, man, I started appreciating him more because I'm like, man, unlike him, our mentoring these young guys, he started taking these guys under his wing. So, you know, so I appreciated that. But then, like Kenny said, man, once he retired, you know, you saw how dedicated he was to his family, having his daughters. I appreciated him. You know, and that's where that girl dad thing came, you know, having a daughter myself. So I'm like, man, that's special. I was seeing him, and this is like right before, you know, his passing with Gigi, you know, at the games. And you saw him, man, in her ear telling her, hey, this how you
what
do
was
it.
Happening?
You know, so, man, like, man, this dude, Kobe, man, he's a really great guy, man. You
know?
So I started appreciating him even more. And then again, what Kenny said, when he embraced the WNBA, the Mamba Academy, helping others, you know, and then again, all the other stuff, and then his investing.
Yeah. The
things that he invested in, his portfolio was outrageous, you know. Mm-hmm. So, man, I'm like, this dude is really dedicated to whatever he wants to. He goes all in, just like how he did on the basketball court.
Yeah, I think for me, for me, I think it was, you know, ultimately when it ended up being more or less his demise, but how he embraced Gigi's love for basketball. Because at first it seemed like, you know, he kind of was wanted to spend time with his family, didn't want to do anything with it. But once he's seen the love that she was starting to build for it, is almost what it seemed like made him kind of re-fall in love with the game, where he was, you know, taking her to games, like was said. Mm-hmm. You see him talking to her, him going to practice with her every day, you know, coaching her team. It really, I think that was the biggest thing for me. Like, you know, he used his love for basketball and his knowledge to help out his daughter, you know, and her team. And, you know, what he did for the WNBA and how it's still, you know, reflected now. You know, you see all the women that he helped and how they still are growing in their game. And, you know, the respect that they have for him and the love they have for him, you know, it just showed that the legacy that he left behind was much bigger than what he did on the court, which I think is, you know, is super cool.
Yeah.
At least, yeah. I mean, same thing y'all said with the family thing, man. Because, I mean, when this dude, I remember he did an interview. I never forget. He did an interview. It was during the game, but halftime they had an interview with him, and I think it was Amon Rashad or somebody. This dude is on the treadmill. This is when I think Natalia was a baby. This when he just had her. This dude is on the treadmill holding her doing his interview, and I'm like, Kobe, man. Like, it's your child, man. Like, relax, bro. You can chill with basketball sometime, bro. Like, you ain't got to train and hold your baby on the treadmill, bro, you know? And I'm like, man, this dude is so dedicated. And like y'all said, man, just like everything y'all said, when he retired, man, and when he gave his speech after the game, he was sitting like, I'm totally done with that. Like, I'm content. Like, I there's nothing left for me in basketball. And I'm giving my time to my family, you know? That is exactly what he did, man. That is he dove 100% into family time, you know, and every other any other craft, any other thing he wanted to do, he totally put basketball off to the wayside and was like, look, family time now. Y'all sacrificed years for me. Like, I mean, Vanessa sacrificed basically 20 years of him in the getting up at, you know, 4 a.m, going to the gym, working out, game, practice, you know, and like he was giving all that time back. He was like, I'm done with it. Now it's time to give all of that sacrifice y'all made for me. I'm about to give it all back to you.
Yeah.
And that's why the passing, that's what made that really, really hard for me. It's like, man, he didn't even get the chance to give it all back, you know, because he was doing it. He was definitely doing it, you know, so.
That's the thing, man, because, you know, I know that the world is missing, you know, what Kobe would have been like at 50, at 60, you know, that wisdom, that determination, that drive, the books, the movies, you know, whatever he would have touched moving forward, man, that's what we kind of miss out on him being here now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, so, yeah, he definitely is a legend, you know. On the court and off the court. So the last thing I want to talk about is really what's your guys' favorite moments, a favorite Kobe moment, you know? I know it might be a few. So
game seven against Boston.
Can we put him on mute? Can we put Blair on mute right now? No, it's not that.
Put Blair on mute. KG against KG.
Let's put Blair on mute.
Big time payback, bro. Big
time. Yeah, that was huge. Just the way that whole thing played out, like him, you know, I've felt he got robbed of MVPs like multiple times. But, you know, he finally winning it.
Two of them.
I think with more than two, he had a couple that when you look at his numbers, like you comparing him, like, dog, this man, but he just. Yeah, his team wasn't good for a long time. He went on a stretch where he was just on a bad team and barely making the 8 seed, getting bounced first round. But finally winning the MVP, you know, rolling through the playoffs, you make it and you run into just a freight train of Boston who seemed determined to tear him down. And they did. It looked like, you know, it was rough as a Laker fan watching that. I didn't even watch the closeout game. I was like, bro, I don't even want – this is too much. I don't even want to watch that. And I'm like clicking back over, and they got like 20. I'm like, oh, this is embarrassing.
Yeah.
But but then watching him come back, you know, beat Orlando, I'm like, all right, cool. You know, he's doing his thing. But then when you when they met them again is when I was like, this is a little bit nerve-wracking for me, because I can't let them lose twice to the rival Boston, mm-hmm. and then you let Boston go up again in series, because right now we're down by one as far as, you know, they're...
We're down 3-2.
No, I'm saying like an all-time championships, because they... So
That's right.
We can't let them get another one, and, you know, getting pushed when Paul Pierce walk off after game two, talking about we not coming back to L.A., They finally come back game six. I remember, you know, they blew them out game six. And
Blair, I think your
seven,
time is up.
No, this is a lot.
Go ahead, Blair.
Stretch and in game seven, you know, seeing him, because he won't hit in shots really, but he did everything else to will that team to win. And, you know, when it came down to it and finally winning. And seeing him stand on, you know, on the side with the five fingers up, that's definitely a moment that I'll never forget. That was my favorite moment. Yeah,
and that's a big moment, man.
Yeah,
that's big. That's huge.